Today, the Supreme Court, for the first time, heard a case testing Congress's power to enact copyright laws. The Constitution gives Congress the power to grant limited terms of copyright in the interests of promoting progress in science and the useful arts. The issue today was whether Congress, in extending the copyright law for 20 years, went too far and created a virtually unlimited copyright. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Copyright controls almost all of American entertainment. Books, movies, songs, poems, CDs, everything from Gone with the Wind to Hound Dog to Dr. Seuss. And when a copyright expires, it means that the material can be used without payment or permission, on the internet, in reprint, in any form, from serious to pornographic. It also means that works that once cost money are free. So when Congress added 20 years onto the copyright law, consumers and internet purveyors, among others, went to court to challenge it. On the steps of the Supreme Court today, lead plaintiff Eric Eldred, a small internet publisher from New Hampshire, said that if his lawsuit succeeds, he and others will be able to fulfill the Constitution's goal.
If we get access, then we can make something like a global public library.
A library that includes not just books, but movies, music, everything. But the law's defenders counter that significant works of art will be lost without copyright protection. Movies cost millions to make and millions to restore, and there's little dispute that that kind of investment will only be made if there's an economic return down the line. Seth Waxman represents the Motion Picture Association of America.
It clearly promotes progress in science and useful arts to encourage and facilitate distribution of existing works of art. Wouldn't it diminish progress in science and useful arts if Citizen Kane had disappeared, as it well might have, if there hadn't been some economic incentive down the road to preserve it and release it in the current form?
Inside the courtroom, Stanford law professor Lawrence Lessig, the maven of the internet, took up the fight against the copyright extension. Almost immediately, he faced a skeptical Justice O'Connor. I'll tell you what bothers me is that Congress has extended copyright so often, starting with the very first Congress. If you're right, don't we run the risk of upsetting previous laws? Chief Justice Rehnquist observes that no one has ever before thought there were grounds to challenge a copyright extension. Answer, this is different. Now, for the first time, because of technology, the scope of the law has increased to cover people it never covered before. Justice Breyer, but if we agree with you, doesn't that mean that we would have to hold the 1976 copyright extension invalid, too? The chaos that would ensue would be horrendous. Answer, under the theory we've advanced, the 1976 law would be unconstitutional, but you would not necessarily have to apply it to the 1976 law. Justice Breyer, dryly, maybe we ought to find another theory then. Justice Kennedy, you claim the law through all these years has impeded progress in science and the arts. I just don't see any empirical evidence of that. Answer, the vital interest is that a public domain be permitted. Chief Justice Rehnquist, caustically, you want more than that. You want the right to copy other people's work. Justice O'Connor, I can find a lot of fault with what Congress did, but it's hard to find a basis for saying it's unconstitutional. Answer, if this law is limited, then everything is. When Lessig sat down, Solicitor General Ted Olson, defending the law, stood to face an equally skeptical court. Justice Stevens asked repeatedly how extending copyright on a work that already exists provides an incentive to create. Olson replied that progress in the arts is not just inspired at the point of creation, but also with new ways to exploit and disseminate the creation. Justice O'Connor, you really have to wonder, though, what was in their minds when they passed this law? How a retroactive copyright would be an incentive? Justice Kennedy, I really think there's an important question here. What's the motive behind the extension? Is it to reward vested interests or stimulate new work? I'd have to say the latter. Justice Scalia, a limited time doesn't mean anything if it keeps changing. Olson replied that when circumstances change, Congress must be able to make changes too, that the framers envisioned Congress doing what it did here, balancing the interests at stake. Justice Breyer noted that the law extends the term of copyright from the lifetime of the author plus 50 years to life plus 70 years. What's the added incentive for the author in that? I can't imagine a person whose decision to write would depend on such a thing. Answer, the works of Schubert weren't appreciated until after his death. It cannot be that limited means unchangeable. Justice Ginsburg, who is the judge of when it becomes unlimited? Is there judicial review? Answer. The issue here is whether Congress, when it makes a judgment, can ever change that judgment. We're living in an era of piracy, enormous problems of administering copyright internationally, a need to harmonize our copyright laws with other countries. So there are numerous reasons to change the law. A decision in the case is expected by summer. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.